Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with Nicola Farndell, women's health, menopause, and habits expert. Nicola and I speak about how to become more self-confident and change your relationship with food, her perimenopause revival guide, and the five pillars of wellness she teaches her clients. I hope you enjoy the episode. And please, if you like this show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now on to my conversation with Nicola. Nicola Farndell, welcome to the show.
Hi, lovely to be here, Lisa.
Well, I'm super excited for our conversation today. Before we get into all things menopause and women's health, I would just simply love to hear what the number one thing is you're excited for our listeners to learn from our conversation today.
Oh, I would say that it is going to be why menopause isn't the end of the road or the beginning of a decline into old age.
Great. I love that message. I'm excited for our listeners to learn more. And so as we start this off, tell us how you got into menopause and women's health coaching.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a long story, and I'll try and pull it together as succinctly as I can. When I was 19, I started to experience anxiety and panic attacks. And up until that point, I'd been pretty confident as a child. I'd spent the summer working in the US as an au pair for 4 months. I'm from the UK, so that was quite a big deal. I came back and started my second year at university and had a pretty catastrophic panic attack where I thought I was going to die. And that became a very long journey of struggling with my mental health. And fast forward 26 years from that point, and we can dig into any of that story further if it would help. I'd been working at Nike for 20 years. I had a pretty successful corporate career. However, I'd always held myself back because of low self-worth, self-esteem, and this low confidence and belief I had that there was something wrong with me. I really believed that my mental health meant that I had some fundamental flaw in my brain and that I just didn't work the same way that other people worked. And so that had really held me back from pushing and progressing my career. I just did a good job and was recognised for that. And most of the moves I had through my 20 years at Nike were sideways. And I'd reached a point, this was 2021, in the middle of the pandemic, essentially. I was 45 years old. And because of the pandemic, I'd reached this point of thinking, how am I going to go back to the way life was pre-COVID? Because I was working at home full time, like a lot of people, and my job was really busy, still very stressful. And that was without all of the traveling I used to do in the normal world before the pandemic started. And I didn't know what the answer was, but I'd had a few other things happen in my life. I'd lost my mum quite suddenly, not long before the pandemic. And I just felt like something had to change because I realised when I was sitting in this room, in my own home, you know, very safe, on a screen like this, speaking to other people, but still feeling so anxious and nervous and stressed that I couldn't go back to doing it how I did it in real life and all of the pressure that I felt with that. And I think, looking back, this was kind of manifested, but I didn't feel like it was happening for me initially anyway. The company went through a huge global restructure and my job was no longer there. And I was told that, you know, there were a few jobs I could apply for, but there weren't many jobs that I could do where I live in England. And there just wasn't really opportunity there to stay in and I felt be a part of the company and progress. So, you know, I took the redundancy and initially felt really scared because I was the main earner in my family. I was 45. I had such low confidence. I didn't know how I was going to get another job and get a job with a big brand again. And quite quickly, I started to reframe this and think, actually, maybe this is almost like a get out of jail free card because I don't want to go back to how things were before the pandemic. That really scared me. I don't know what the answer is, but let's think about maybe this is happening for me rather than to me. And what I did was an exercise that really shifted everything, in that I looked at what I enjoyed in the actual job and work I did at Nike. And that was working with women and girls to help them understand the power of sport and moving their body. And I'd done some quite specific projects on women and inclusivity and on girls and dropout rates in sport. And then I looked at what tasks, things I did at Nike that I loved and wanted to keep doing, which was process improvement, driving change, leading people, managing teams, and just being really influential around, creating better results. And then it was piecing together, okay, what on top of that would I like from a job? And then finally, something I'd never allowed myself to think about before, what did I want for the rest of my life? What was I actually about? Now, that bit didn't come very easily, but because I'd been made redundant, I had a bit of money to look at retraining. I did a program on self-doubt and imposter syndrome, and that very quickly made me realize that, those pieces I wanted to continue working on, especially with regards to girls and women, were something that I could perhaps build a business around. And that began an online journey to discover entrepreneurship and retrain as a personal trainer and then a health coach. And from the very beginning, I had a very clear mission and vision around helping women to understand what living healthy is really about and embed healthy habits into their lives. And the bigger vision was to normalize healthy habits so our kids grow up just knowing that being healthy is the route to living a great, full, successful, happy life, whatever you want to define that life as. And then it just evolved as I got into it and started to realize that actually it's because we are born as female. We have this reproductive system when we're biologically born with the two X chromosomes that mean we have very different hormones and we have these seasons of life that we go through, which can change a lot. And it's because of that big one season, which is menopause, that, we really need to protect and value our health much, much more than what we realize. And so all of those pieces came together. And it was a process. I had the idea for the business, but not exactly what I was going to sell and do. That took more time. And then it evolved as I learned more about women's health as well.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I think that's the greatness or the wonderful things that can be achieved when we are just open and when we just put the message out there of, I want something different. I want something more. I don't know what that looks like, but this is not for me. And then if we're just staying attuned and open to various doors that present themselves, opportunities, and staying curious as opposed to thinking it has to be that way, I often think if we're too fixated on I'm gonna become X, Y, Z, and it needs to be in this manner, we're standing in our own way. I think, of course, there's a lot of value, and I've spoken about this many times on this podcast, a lot of value in like having a clear vision of who you want to become. Yeah, sure, but not in the sense of it needs to be exactly for this company at that time with this amount of hours, blah, 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 but rather saying, I want to become a different version of me. And I love how that led you to creating this wonderful mission and business now, where you help women of all ages, but specifically also throughout menopause. Since I assume that's also something that you have gone through in terms of perimenopause, at least, or are going through. And I think that often makes us very relatable to other people that are struggling with the same thing. You did mention something beforehand, and that was more pertaining to dieting and just in general your relationship to food. So I'd like to dig into that a little bit. Like what were you feeling and going through when you were going through various diets, and how did you stop that and then transform your relationship with food essentially?
Yeah, so that's a huge piece of my story. I probably started to diet in some form at around the age of 13. And, that was late 1980s. We didn't have social media or technology, the World Wide Web wasn't created at that point, but there was still a lot of noise in the media about, how a woman should look. We had, the super wave model era with Kate Moss and Naomi Campbell and so on. And I just remember at school amongst girls, the conversation being around weight and being too fat and trying to lose weight. But, back then there was also probably no talk about nutrition. It was diet. Then I don't think nutrition was a word that was used. We didn't talk about macronutrients or balanced diet. The microwave hadn't long been invented, and ready meals were amazing. I lived on a lot of those. My mother thought it was great to just have those things in the freezer to grab. So I was actually eating probably quite unhealthily. My mum did cook a lot at home on an evening, so I think we did get some good stuff and veggies into our diet. But I started very young and then that just progressed. And I was never overweight. I wasn't an overweight child at all. I was very normal. Looking back, it makes me so sad to see that girl who was just very normal in size and shape to think, I became obsessed with this. And I know through the work I've done that it was because I needed to fit in, that there were lots of things I had actually started to believe as a young child meant I was different and not good enough. So I did what a lot of girls do, I restricted, I thought about calories. And when I did spend that summer in America, I came back having put on quite a bit of weight. I joined one of the world famous slimming clubs where I would stand on the scales every week and then afterwards go off and celebrate and have a big treat, maybe a takeaway or eat in a restaurant or something like that. And that cycle went on for years. I would lose a lot of weight, maybe keep it off, for months, could even be a year or so, but then I'd put weight back on. But I was thinking about what I ate and the weight that I was all of the time. And I was measuring my worth through that. Now, this was obviously combined with the anxiety and panic attacks and all of those stories and beliefs I had going around in my mind about not being the same as everybody else and not being good enough. And I just really felt that if I could lose weight and look a certain way, then I would be confident, I'd be happy, I'd be normal, I'd find a man, I'd be the same as all of my friends and so on and so on. And yeah, it was really tough. I was never diagnosed with an eating disorder, but I had very disordered eating. I would binge eat. I would plan out what I was going to eat on that binge, and I would eat it in a sequence that meant it was easier to throw it back up because I did used to make myself sick. Probably in part was bulimic to an extent. I don't believe from what I know that I was fully bulimic, but I had those tendencies and behaviors. And that pattern of binging, purging, and being sick went on for many years, probably from around age 20, I'd say even up to maybe late 20s to perhaps around the age of 30 or so. And it wouldn't be as regular the older I got, but I would still sometimes do it. But certainly through my younger 20s, I was doing that quite often. And eating in secret, planning how I could get more food in. And I was just obsessed about food, but at the same time, not just obsessed about eating food, but obsessed about what food I ate to try to be a certain size. So it was just all consuming in every way. When I was working in corporate, the conversation every day amongst team members would be, what did you have for, tea last night? We call it tea where I'm from in the UK rather than dinner. And what did you have for tea? What are you having for breakfast? What are you going to make for tea tonight? I found this recipe. We just spoke about it all of the time. And I continued with going to a paid weight loss group and losing weight and so on. And that went on until I fell pregnant when I was around 31, had my daughter, straight back to the Slimming Club. After that, for a couple of years, realized I was just yo-yoing. One week I might lose a pound, the next week put half a pound on and so on. And so I stopped going and just tried to do it on my own. And then it just went to different extremes, you know, trying things out of a packet, having these shakes and living on nothing else. And then eventually I discovered someone, I'm not sure if you've come across him, Lisa, he is pretty famous, the body coach, Joe Wicks, who is a huge, yeah, UK ambassador for fitness especially, but overall health. He was very new at that point in time, and I joined his 90-day program to lose weight. That was the goal. You know, it was still, this was 2017. I'd done some of his stuff for free in 2016. January 2017, bought the 90-day plan, started on the plan, did lose weight, but something else happened, which was really a key piece of the recipe, if you like, for what then began a shift in the rest of my health and life, is I started to do a lot more strength training. I was working at Nike, obviously the world's biggest sports company. We had a gym, we had instructors come in and take a lot of classes. So since I'd started there, because I was never a sporty person whatsoever, I did used to do a lot of the classes, but again, all with the approach of let's move your body to lose weight, not to be healthy, well, and strong. But that started to shift through this body coach plan because the strength training was very different to the style of strength training I had done up to that point. And I actually started to feel strong mentally. And I don't think it really resonated initially, but within a few months, lots of people were commenting on how I looked physically, but also how I was as a person. Now, I was still very anxious, I still didn't have a lot of confidence. But there was definitely something there that began to help me just feel stronger. And I kept going through the body coach plans. I kept paying to get the next stage and the next stage beyond the 90 days, because not only did it change how I exercised, but the diet that I'd bought the plan to go on and lose weight actually shifted my approach to nutrition in a completely different way. And it again, you know, thinking now, this was 8 years ago, how he spoke about this then is the same way he speaks about it now. But it was quite new back then around, you know, not concentrating so much on volume, but on quality. Back then, we weren't talking about the gut microbiome. We didn't know that then either. But, you know, quality, the macronutrients, balancing good fats. Now, I'd been a low fat, you know, geek, and maybe should we say follower, like I was in some kind of cult, like many people for probably 30 years, like let's have everything low fat yogurts and low fat snack bars and crisps and everything, you know. And I was eating, counting what I was eating, but eating a lot of rubbish really now. Looking back, it was all ultra processed, just had the low fat label on it. So that really started to shift my approach to eating. And for the first time, I just stopped thinking about dieting and weight. And I didn't care what I weighed. I just cared that I was strong. And I know this sounds maybe cheesy because it is used in some cheesy ways today, but the whole strong over skinny, again, was quite new back then. But that's what I started to approach was, yeah, let's be strong. Let's be a strong woman. And people who I worked with were really noticing the muscles. You know, my build, I'm never going to be someone who's skinny in any form because I've got a very normal build. You know, I've got rounded shoulders and arms, but I really became strong, and I loved that feeling of it. So, yeah, that was the start of my mindset, moving away from restriction, deprivation, short-term fixes, dieting. And I hadn't realized this as I was going through it. It was only when I set my business up and started to look at, well, how have I transformed my health? What steps did I actually take? What was it that worked for me? Why did it work this time? Was all of that. That really did shift the narrative that I'd held on to for, by that point, over 30 years. You know, that the skinnier you were, the more people would like you and the happier you would be in your life and the more valuable you'd be as a human.
Oh, this is amazing. It really resonates with me, your story, I have to say. And I just love how you have come out of it with the appreciation of being strong and confident and quality of food. I too went through various diets in my teens and 20s, early 20s, until I started doing CrossFit. And so that was before that, I also was, an endurance person doing yoga and always thinking less is better. And then I started doing CrossFit, and I at first had resistance towards it because I thought I never want to look bulky. I don't want to be that kind of, manly looking person. But I something about it enticed me, the variability and so on. And then when I started doing it, just like you say, there's something about, hey, I can pick this up. Hey, I'm progressing with this and this. I can now do, I don't know, a push-up. I wasn't able to do that beforehand. And then suddenly, like you said, my mindset started shifting from I need to fuel my body, I need to actually like give it something so it can grow and perform and adapt. And that was also for me really a big change in my relationship with food. So I absolutely love that, and I love how you're educating other women on the importance of self-confidence when it comes to our relationship with food, because I truly think that feeling undeserving and feeling like we're not worth change, is often what makes us stand in our own way subconsciously most of the time. And you have five wonderful pillars that you like to teach your clients, from what I can tell. And why don't you walk us through these great pillars? That would be amazing.
Yeah, so when I reflected on my health transformation and what I'd learned, I realized that it wasn't just about one thing. And I'd also learned a lot of this at Nike. I kind of stole the pillar concept from the work we did, especially in women's and men's training, that it isn't just about like one facet of training for when you think about training in terms of strength training, for example, it could then be yoga, but sleep was very important and recovery and so on. So my pillars are visualized as five circles, like a Venn diagram, and each of those circles overlaps with one another because they are intrinsically linked. And in the center, you have mindset, and then around mindset, nutrition, movement, sleep, and stress. And each of those plays a huge part in your overall health today, both very much so for your future health, which I would love to come on to because that is so important for us women. And together they create your well-being, how well and energized and driven and passionate and all of those amazing things, I guess most of us, probably if not all of us, want to experience in our lives. And like in that example of just talking about my relationship with food and dieting and then exercise, I think it was when together at that point in time, focusing on the movement and the nutrition came together, like because I was eating healthier and I wasn't focused actually on losing weight after the first maybe 2 months or so, I started to just feel more energized because I was eating very differently to how I'd eaten before. And that lifted up like my energy, the motivation I had to work out because the workouts, how he did them back then, were really tough. They were very different to his plan these days. But then when I was working out, that was making me want to eat healthier. And so, the two were linked. What I didn't realize was that it was then also helping my mental health massively. Like I say, I wasn't fixed at that point. Once I got really intentional and aware of what was going on and how I was feeling, then I just accelerated what I was already doing. But, when we work out, especially strength training, that is so good for your mental health. So you're helping to calm your nervous system. You're focusing when you are lifting weights, and this doesn't have to be just heavy weights, like a deadlift kind of thing. You can do workouts full body with quite light dumbbells or a kettlebell or bands, even, anything like that. You're in that zone and you aren't running away with all of the stuff you've got to do and what's maybe gone wrong that morning and so on. So, there's so many stats we know from research about the benefit that training in any way, exercise, I call it movement, moving your body has on your brain, on your nervous system, on your cardiovascular health, and so on. So yeah, the five pillars are really interlinked because they all impact one another. And in the middle is mindset because that is really important. And most of us aren't ever consciously aware of what's going on with our minds and the role that our mind plays in terms of our habits, our choices, how we feel, all of that stuff. But that is, for me, one of the missing pieces that many health coaches, don't include when they're working with women to try and help them shift weight or, improve their fitness or reduce stress and boost really resilience and so on. The mindset, what you think about, not just yourself, but the world and why you're here and just, yeah, your values essentially is so important. And that really then links being able to build new habits in each of the other four pillars, as well as in the mindset piece itself. Because what I find is if I have ladies come to me who have a goal of losing weight, when we start working together, the goal isn't about losing weight. The goal is often about liking themselves. It's about being confident. And underneath that, at the root, is actually believing they are good enough. And the weight loss might be part of the process to achieve that goal, but the weight loss itself isn't the goal. And that's why, for all of those years when I was only focused on dieting and losing weight, whenever I'd lose weight, it wouldn't stay because I hadn't done the mindset work. I still didn't like myself. I still believed I was a flawed human that had something shameful wrong with them.
Yeah, that's such an important point that mindset really is the foundation of everything, in regards to the pursuit of our goals and creating new habits, but also in regards to it sticking. And so you obviously mentioned strength training as a form to build our self-confidence and therefore our mindset as well. What are some other strategies the listeners can like practically take away in order to get more self-confident or to build themselves up?
Yeah, and I just want to call out on the strength training. It was one of the phrases you used just a few minutes ago, Lisa. I wanted to touch on that. For me, the strength training started as an aesthetic solution, a way to look good, but then it didn't play out like that. And, it became more about the way it made me feel and what I was achieving through that. So that confidence wasn't because I looked a certain way. And that's been a journey to shift away from that, because at the start of this transformation in 2017, it was what I was looking for the outcome to be. For me, the biggest tick in the box to say you are worth it is taking care of yourself. And I know self-care is such a overly used word and often used and interpreted incorrectly. Women think of it like taking a bubble bath with a candle on, or treating themselves to a face mask with some nice music on, which they might do once every 6 months, in the real world, and that kind of thing. And yeah, of course, they're self-care rituals that you can do. But when you are taking care of yourself, and I'll come on to what that looks like, you are ticking the box to say you are worth it. And for me, building self-worth is the unlock to confidence. Confidence isn't something you have to find, and we hear lots of women phrase it in that way. Confidence is something you build, and I believe it's built when you are valuing yourself. Your value should be like the foundations to a building. They are unshakable. They are solid. They are in place to hold that building up. The roof, if you like, is the confidence. That's the bit that maybe you have to put on and you have to keep working on. But the foundations don't change. If somebody comments negatively about you online, that shouldn't impact your self-worth. Yeah, maybe it might rock your confidence a little bit, but you intrinsically know that you are worthy, you are enough. And so I believe that taking care of yourself is what builds that self-worth, and then that in turn builds confidence. So, I'd desperately tried to find confidence from 19 years of age. Up until that point, I acted, I gave presentations at university, all without nerves. From the minute I had that first panic attack, I was a nervous wreck. I struggled to even be in an enclosed room, let alone speak up. I became a shell of my former self. And I was desperate to find confidence. I did training, I went on courses, read books. A bit like with the diet and trying to lose weight, why it never worked is because I didn't work on my mindset, on my core value. And I think that that comes through those habits around mindset, but also making choices to stay off your phone before you go to bed at night, not look at your phone first thing on a morning. Think about the day ahead with intention. How do you want to feel? What do you want to achieve? What's important to prioritize? Moving your body, and this doesn't have to be in the way we automatically think of in a workout or exercise class. This can be taking a 5, 10 minute walk before you start work. This can be choosing the stairs, the elevator, over the elevator or escalators. The food that you put in, the fuel that you are putting into your body and to your mind to get the output that you want. I've mentioned sleep, stress. The other one, is how do you respond? And just being really aware of maybe some of the thoughts that you have around a big to-do list or not having achieved what you wanted to achieve that day. So they're all strategies that you can build as habits. And, there's so many other layers beneath that that we could go into on each one of them. But I really think that when you are aware of the role your health plays in the way you want to feel and live your life, and you start taking action, even when it's just those small steps at the beginning, that still builds up and you will become more confident. And that mindset is a huge, huge piece of the work that I do with clients. And that's, why it's at the middle of my framework for those five pillars, because it is so integral to you knowing that you are worthy enough that and have that self-belief to go after whatever it might be that you want for your life.
I think this is a really, really practical and such wonderful takeaways for the listeners. What I think I hear you say most of the time is that if we delay gratification, the immediate thing where we're like the easier thing right now of watching another show on Netflix instead of putting the phone away, maybe reading something, then going to bed, reaching for the convenient food as opposed to maybe going grocery shopping at first, which in the end is probably going to take the same amount of time, often and is probably just as cheap, if not cheaper. Or like if we choose the harder things more often, we're building the self-confidence of, hey, I can do this. I think the part where many people go wrong is they hear that, they hear I need to do something hard, and they do something super, super hard that they can never sustain and is not healthy to sustain either. So to the point of like even, before you had felt more confident, I'm sure you were doing a lot of hard things. I'm sure you were, delaying gratification to an extent, but probably way too extreme so that it didn't feel like this is something I can see myself doing for the rest of my life. And instead, now when you are encouraging other women to do this, this all sounds like small things, baby steps that at first they might even ask, like, are you serious? That's not even that hard to do, you're just telling me to drink 2 liters of water. Of course I can do that, no problem. But if you do that consistently, it's like, oh, okay, I thought that this is actually harder than I thought to really do that consistently, to really put my phone away on time, to not respond in such a reactive manner or so. But these are all some wonderful strategies. And I know you have a great freebie, the 10 ways to feel good again, your perimenopause revival guide. I love the title of that, and I know it's going to resonate with a lot of our listeners as well. So I will for sure put that the link to that in the show notes. But maybe you can share a couple of the ways, not necessarily all 10, but a couple of the ways that we can or people can feel good again if they feel like they're having any kind of hormonal struggles. It doesn't have to be necessarily perimenopause. But yeah, I think quite often we're just questioning, like, what's wrong with me? Am I broken?
Yeah, certainly. And the first one I'm going to give is linked to what I said at the start. I would like women listening to walk away with is that belief that menopause is a crossroads to a better second half of life, that it doesn't mean it's a downward slope into old age. And that is reframing what is happening to you, because lots of women become very overwhelmed with the amount of different symptoms they can experience. And strangely enough, this week on the news in the UK, there was a short piece about the age of perimenopause becoming much younger and how many women in their mid 30s are starting to experience hormonal shifts. So, this is from a young age, and this matters whatever age you are, because you said, I work mainly with midlife women. Midlife, I think, is officially defined between 35 and 65, which is crazy. I'm 45 and I'm hoping I'm not past the middle of my life, but possibly I'm way past when you look at average lifespan and so on. But I always speak to younger women, especially when I run corporate sessions, and they're really interested in this, because the younger you are when you begin to embed these kind of habits into your life, the stronger and more resilient you are going to be. And also, as a machine, the human machine that we occupy, the smoother that will navigate not just menopause changes, but any changes, whether it's pregnancy. But then beyond you, grief, losing a loved one, someone becoming ill in your family, a financial problem, like myself being made redundant. So, just a kind of call out that these are for everyone, not just if you are in the midst of perimenopause or menopause changes. But I think just reframing, because I said, yeah, lots of women really struggle and think, oh, this means I'm old. They feel embarrassed. I do a lot of work with corporates, and what often comes up is that fear of not having as much value as an employee anymore, that you aren't good enough, and all of what we carry as women in those beliefs around being older, being of less value. So trying to reframe where you're at. And there's lots of ways that you can do that. Following somebody like myself or finding other people. There are some brilliant celebrities. Tamsin Fidel is a huge one in the US who is really advocating for menopause. And you've got, celebrities like Naomi Watts and Halle Berry and Davina McCall here in the UK. Just finding people who talk to you in a way that you would like to think, because habits and change come about. One of the biggest factors is the community and the how you surround yourself. If you look back to how we were as humans, in thousands of years ago, as we were evolving, we were part of tribes, and that's what we needed to learn and form our behavior. So if you create that world around you, at your feed, if you like, and your feed on social media with people who speak and think in a way you would like to, then that will help you to shift your beliefs. But I think ultimately it's things like affirming that you are still of value, that you can still achieve a lot. And when those doubts come in, is look, thinking about, well, why am I questioning whether this is possible? Look at this woman who's done that. Look at this woman who's done that. There's some brilliant examples out in the world of really successful business leaders, entrepreneurs, celebrities, and so on, who have pivoted at quite, an older age in life, that prove you can write a book, you can change career, you can leave a relationship and find the true love of your life in your 50s or so on. So I think, yeah, reframing would be my first one, to just really look at the opportunity that lies ahead. And I believe that why. Obviously, there are physiological and psychological shifts happening inside of us because of our hormonal shifts. But I also believe that those hormonal imbalances we have can stir up a lot of stuff underneath. If you think of a pond and all of that muddy, dirty water, the leaves, the stuff growing on the bottom, the moss, it all gets stirred up. So anything we're carrying starts to come up, and we can get a little bit lost with it all and really start to just question who we are. So that's the first tip. And then one of the next ones, I'll go back to nutrition because I know this is your area, is to really focus on that quality over quantity. And I guess with that, possibly for some women or many women, is acceptance. I think there's a big piece to do on that, and I'm working on that for myself at the moment. We do change our shape, I think, again, in the majority. We do start to carry fat in different areas and perhaps in a different way to how it looked when we were younger. For many women, our metabolism does change. And again, there's lots of reasons why this is happening and so on. But just to really approach food with that compassionate acceptance kind of mindset is something that is going to help you to achieve what you want and to feel the way you want to feel. And so really think about what you are eating and drinking. And I'm going to emphasize drinking there because alcohol is a big thing that many midlife women do need to reassess and look at their relationship with. Is, okay, if you want to feel more energized and you are struggling with brain fog and you do have joint pains and you're waking up for hours in the middle of the night, are you putting in, again, remember, at the end of the day, we are a machine. Think about any machine, your car, dishwasher, whatever it might be. If we want to work optimally, then we have to feed it optimally, fuel it optimally. So that's one of the tips that I share in my guide is around nutrition and just trying to really simplify it because we all live busy lives and most of us don't have time to be writing down or recording every single thing we put in our mouths and tracking it and monitoring it and judging it and so on for lots of reasons, not just the time to do that, but the thing in time of what that then all means. So just try to simplify it with some really core principles around a diet. I have 13 in my kind of overview that I use with clients. And one of them is around quality over quantity, and think about those little gut microbes in your gut and feeding them and making them happy with lots of fiber, diversity, colours, the food that is going to help them to thrive, which in turn will definitely help you to feel better.
Nicola, these tips are absolutely amazing. I especially love the last one in regards to simplicity and also fueling your body. I just want to say thank you so much for your time and sharing your wisdom, not just with us here on this podcast, but in general with all the women that you touch in your life or all the people you touch in your life. So truly thank you for the work that you do. This has been a pleasure. I will absolutely link all your handles in the show notes. But yeah, just wanted to say thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm pleased that you've enjoyed it, and hopefully, everyone can take something away to take that first small step.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Nicola. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening.